you end up wearing a bunch of different hats. You're in the digital marketing department, you're the sales department, you're the CFO, you're the CEO, you're the janitor.
Hello and welcome to the Brand New You Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you clearly and confidently build and market your brand so you flourish. I'm your host, Ryan Roten, and today's guest is one of my favorite people, Toy Sweeney. Toy is an award-winning fashion stylist, brand image consultant, speaker, entrepreneur, certified Fascination Advantage coach, and author of the book, Secrets of a Well-Dressed Brand. She's been featured on Forbes.com, BBCNews.com. Toy combines her fashion expertise with her Fascination Advantage training to help individual and corporate clients craft a branded personal style that clearly communicates their personality. Toy, it is my pleasure to welcome you back to the Brand New You Show.
Thank you. I'm so excited. Do you know that you were my very, very first podcast that I ever did in life? And that was like 22 podcasts ago.
Wow, that's awesome.
This is all your fault.
I'm honored. You were also one of my very first guests.
Dude, we've been on this ride together and you totally stole my line because I was going to say that you were one of my favorite people. So
I'm like, really?
Are we doing this today, right? Are we doing this? Are you stealing my lines? No, I love you like the brother that I never knew. You know how much I love you. And Secrets of a Well-Dressed Brand, my book, if you guys go back and listen to the first podcast that I did with you, it is completely your fault because it was not written. And at the very end of the podcast, you said, you should write a book. And I said, I think I will.
And you did. And you did. And that, I mean, that's, you are like the consummate action taker. I mean, you've done so much stuff since the last time we spoke. It's unbelievable, right? You're an author now. You're a speaker now. So when we talked last time, you were still in a corporate job working for a very large company that does, I don't know if I can say the name, but
yeah, say it.
Sales, okay, QVC, right? And you went from working for them to then you're like a guest appearance on there now. So yeah. TV shows, I mean, holy cow, you've been up to a lot of really great stuff.
It's been the craziest 3-4 years. I'm going into my fourth year being an entrepreneur. It's been crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much fun though. So much fun.
I know. And I want to talk about some of that stuff because you and I, like a few other guests, not as many, but definitely you and I have stayed in touch since you were on the podcast the first time. And we find ourselves texting each other at odd times during the course of the day, sometimes to share something new and exciting that has happened. And sometimes just to like vent.
Yes.
Because I think when you become an entrepreneur, there are like everybody glorifies it and it looks like it's this great and wonderful thing. And there's a lot of really good things about it.
Yes.
But there are a lot of other things that come along with it that you may think you know about it or you may think you can handle it. But when it hits you, it's like, okay, wow, I need somebody to talk to.
Oh, absolutely.
So many times over the last few years, you have been a support for me and I greatly appreciate that. But one of the questions I know for me, several things have like shocked me along the way, or maybe not shocked me, but just surprised me. I'm curious, like since you started doing your own thing, what's one of the biggest surprises that you've run into in the last few years?
Oh man, there's been so many. Well, first, you have been a huge support for me as well. And so I am truly grateful for you and honored by your friendship, honestly. I think the biggest was just being able to switch my mentality from, you know, kind of a, I kind of went through phases with it, right? So as you are working for someone, and then even though you're now this entrepreneur, you take on really more of like a freelancer mentality. And I don't think that I took on a true entrepreneur mentality until this year, or like late 2019, you know, it took me a few years to really understand what that was all about and just really understanding that you only eat what you kill. You know, and that if you're not getting up every day and hunting down customers and hunting down, you know, so then, you know, your business can't move forward without sales. Right. And so it made me really appreciate my background that comes, you know, different variations of sales and all of those things. But I don't think I was ready to wear so many hats. Even though, you know, I think that when we're all in corporate jobs, you end up wearing a bunch of different hats. This is not the same because you are the head of, you're the digital marketing department. You're just the regular marketing department. You're the sales department. You're the CFO. You're the CEO. You're the COO. You're the janitor. You're the receptionist.
Right.
You know, it's crazy. It's crazy. And so I don't think that I was fully prepared for that. And then the second thing was, in complete transparency, I was not prepared for the toll that it takes on a marriage when one of you is an entrepreneur and the other one isn't. You know, and what that means when you're trying to, you know, recoup the salary that you left behind.
Yeah, totally. I get that. I went when I took my leap. Of course, my leap wasn't really a leap so much as a push. I think you know, obviously you and I have shared my story, but I was let go from my company a little over 2 years ago now. And so I was kind of pushed and I had a choice, like most people do if something like that happens to them, which is you can either go back and just get a job, like do what you were doing, or you can just take the plunge and say, you know what, this is something I want to try and I want to do it. And so I can totally relate to the salary piece because I went from, as anybody does, you go from X dollars to zero, literally overnight. Yes. And it puts a pressure on you that, you know, in those situations that you just can't, it's hard to describe to anybody else who hasn't experienced it in the same way.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I think for both of us, we both have supportive spouses who, you know, who have helped us along the way as we've gone through our journey. Although let's be honest, supportive spouses also have a limit to where at some point they're like, dude, you need to make some sales or you're going to have to get a job because this isn't tenable.
Right. Right. And I'm like, I have a job. He's like, you know what I mean?
Right. Right. And I tell you, it's funny. The first thing you brought up was like, is probably one of the biggest things that I think people will struggle with going from being an employee to like thinking like a business owner. And how, you know, what you said that took you, what, 2 years to kind of work yourself into that mold?
Yeah, I think that to really kind of get a groove going, because there was just things that I was like, oh, okay, for next time, you know, like I didn't know what I didn't know. You know, I had to take a different approach. You know, fourth quarter at QVC meant something different for fourth quarter at the Well-Dressed Brand, you know? And so there's been a lot of stumbling and a lot of lessons and blessings along the way. You know, for every bad thing that's happened, you know, there's been 10 other really good things that's been keeping me afloat. But I want to move into a space where I'm doing more than surviving. You know what I mean? And so that has been the biggest lesson. And so even this year was like, okay, this is what I've learned the last, you know, 3 years for fourth quarter. So I'm going to now, I know, you know, that this year I started over the summer. Like, what am I going to do, you know, as I head into fourth quarter? You know, what kind of offerings can I have? How can I serve my tribe the best so that my business can move forward? And then they are also one step closer to the things that they're trying to accomplish.
I can tell you, there's probably people listening to this right now who are going, duh, you're started a business. You have to think like a business owner, but it's not that easy. You know, when you're, and I think you can relate to this, when you're used to having your day scheduled for you, you know what meetings you have to go to, you know who you're working with at what particular times, and you don't have to worry about getting paid.
Yeah.
It takes a long time, I think, to move away from that employee thought process and really get your head wrapped around, hey, dude, you're the only one that can do this. Like, there's nobody else.
Yeah. And I mean, like if you're working for someone and you sit at your desk and you're goofing off online for about an hour, you know, you're still getting paid on Friday. You know what I mean? If you stop at the water cooler and you're talking to your employees, you're talking to your coworkers,
right.
You know, or whatever, you know, then you're still getting paid on Friday, you know? And so like now it just, time has a different concept. It's just a different concept than it did before. And also like the balancing of all the hats, you know, You know, because there's an expectation. This is something that, you know, my husband and I were talking about this recently. There's a different expectation because I'm at home, like I'm working from home, you know? And so just something as simple as like, I can be distracted easily by the laundry or the dishes or the whatever, or the dogs or whatever. And you know, you can be in flow and completely writing your book or working with a client, and then school calls and your child's sick. Like, it's just crazy. And so it just felt different when I was in my corporate job, because number one, I'm obviously not at home. And so I'm not distracted by dishes and laundry and unlike all the things. And so just really having to have everything scheduled. I have everything scheduled. Like when I wash my face, when I pull my clothes out for the gym tonight, like everything has to be scheduled, because otherwise it'll get away from me.
Yeah, totally. And it's funny you say that, because that was, that's like one of the very first things. I hired a business coach last year, and that's one of the first things he did was he audited my calendar. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, he's like, dude, let me see your calendar. Share it with me. I'm like, what do you mean? Why do you need to see my calendar? He's like, cause there's like this saying, it says time expands to take up the space you allow it, or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, like whatever. I don't remember what the exact saying is, but what you find when you first get started is if you're not scheduling your time, it gets scheduled for you.
Absolutely.
And not in the ways that you should be. And yeah. So when I'm working with some of the, especially if people are trying to become freelancers, if I'm working with them, that's one of the first things I want to look at, make sure they know, is you have to schedule your time on a calendar. Otherwise, you're going to get to the end of the day and go, my gosh, what'd I do today?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and we could probably just talk about like entrepreneurship for this whole time, which might be fascinating. But I want to talk about some of the other things that you do or have done since the last time we spoke, which is you went out and you became certified with Fascination Advantage.
Yes.
What was that like?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I think that I talk about this in my book, The Secrets of a Well-Dressed Brand, but also, you know, this language of commodity, right? And so what we do, as we know from in the branding world, what we do is a commodity, but who you are is not a commodity. And so I love the Fascination Advantage. I had taken the test, as you know, when I was working in the corporate world, and I had had my eye on becoming a coach. So the more that I really started to use this 16-page report that you get from the assessment test, I started thought it would be a great idea to use as the foundation for my clients. To create their brand, and then add my style test on top of it, and then really create the strategy for them around their wardrobe. So that was exactly what I started out to do a few years back when I became certified.
Yeah, and I guess I should explain for those who may not be familiar. The Fascination Advantage is, as you just said, created by Sally Hogshead. It's an assessment, personality assessment you can take that's not like your typical assessment. Right. It actually is a kind of an outward facing one where it assesses how people see you.
It's the only one in the entire world that shows you how the world sees you. So it works well with Myers-Briggs and like all the other ones, but they're all of them are telling you like, you think this way, you do that. This is the only one in the world that says, hey, here is what people are already seeing in you. So you might as well take advantage of it.
Yeah. So genius on your part to think, you know, so here's an outward facing assessment. What is one of the most outward facing things that any of us portray, if you will, or use within our personalities or our brands, but our clothing, right? Which I always think about this when I think of clothing and style, blown away by the comment that you made in our first interview, which was that clothing, what did I say? Which is that your clothing is like packaging for a product.
Yeah.
Right. And so I always pay attention to the packaging on products. And honestly, yeah. I got to say, there are times when I'm looking at a package and I go, man, this is really well designed. Toy would really like this. You know, but I mean, great.
She would appreciate that.
Taking that assessment and marrying it together with what you do is like, it's genius. So kind of talk a little bit about how my personality or how people view my personality can guide my personal sense of style, if you would.
Well, do you remember what your fascinator is? I'll use you as an example. Do you remember?
I'm the Maverick. I'm the Maverick. So it was innovation and power. That is me.
So, okay. Power is a language of confidence. So you're really goal-oriented and you have innovation. So you're full of all these amazing ideas, but you can also execute them. And so, you know, you have that foundation. So everything that you do, whether it's on social media or any of your or any of the content that you're putting out into the world, should be filtered through power and innovation. And so you're saying like, hey, you know, even when I talk to you and I'm calling you and I'm just like, I'm on the cliff, Ryan, I'm going to jump off, which has happened.
Please don't.
You know, you're the first person to say, I mean, into a swimming pool. but, you know, the power in you is the first, you know, you're going to say, you know what, you can do it. You know, you become the opinion of authority in all of our lives, but also, you know, when you're talking to your clients as well, the way that you lead is very important. As a passion or a power personality, you take control of a situation rather than you passively sitting back. When you're managing, it goes through all of that. The assessment test goes through the way that you manage, the way that you make decisions, how you plan, how you sell, how you close the deal, how you collaborate. So you have all of those wrapped into, that's just the power portion of your assessment test. And so then when you get into your innovation, that's really how you're connecting with others, right? And so, and it's really about creativity, which I love, but your innovation changes the game. So that's going to make you different than any other branding coach. And then I take that and go, okay, so how do we create a look for you that is, you know, going to show innovation and also power, right? So I would create like a conversational piece, like a orange handkerchief, you know, or something. And so maybe we want to use that. Maybe you wear a gray suit with like orange sneakers or something like that. Something that's going to be fueled or yellow, right? Something that is going to speak to your creativity, most men would look at that and think, man, you've got to be pretty confident to pull that off. But if you're at a networking event, you'll be surprised that would be the very thing that that would draw people to you. So I kind of merge them together in that way. And I build out a whole 8-page branding deck just around your signature style and what you should look like when you're casual, when you're dressy, all of those different things, because it really is about what you're broadcasting is what gets received, right? And so again, it is your packaging, but now we're going to take it one step further and talk about what you want to do, what your vision is for the next 5 years, and then we're going to dress you according to the way you want to be addressed.
I love that. I mean, you know, and I should probably just hire you to help me, because right now I'm doing more and more speaking and I want to continue to do more speaking.
Yes.
But even if it's in a small group, other than the content that's there, having something, even like yellow shoes, because they'll remember you as the yellow shoe guy. Yeah. And then I would personally, if I had the yellow shoes, I would figure out a way to work that into the presentation.
Absolutely.
So now they're tying the yellow shoes to the content I'm presenting.
Absolutely.
So they can remember me and not somebody else.
Yes. And when you think about people like Jay Baer, he's been on the Well Dressed Brand TV show, and we talked about how he uses his wardrobe as a talk trigger, you know? And so he tells the story about how he showed up to a conference and he just had on a plain gray suit. And the response was pretty much like, where is Jay Baer? Like, where's the crazy, like, we were expecting that because it had become so much a part of his brand that it was expected, you know? And so I just don't think that we really concentrate on that enough, because everything is going to video.
Yeah.
You know, everything is video, 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 video. And so we have to come out of hiding. So you might as well look exceptional while you're doing it, because we're all still, unfortunately, a culture that we judge, good, bad, or indifferent. You know, someone's going to think something. And there was a study that just came out of Princeton University at the very tail end of 2019, where your wardrobe is linked to your competency. Hmm. Like, what?
Wow.
And so, yeah, like I'm reading a study and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And it wasn't about age or race or any of those things. It was just purely, is this person competent or are they not competent or are they incompetent? It was crazy. So I don't think that people really put enough weight and value on the way that we get dressed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and honestly, when you're a freelancer who works out of your house, you don't typically think about how you're dressed, but you're still on a Zoom call. People can see you. And so they're going to be thinking something as right. you interact, especially the first couple of times.
Right. And that leads me to, that's why I think that it's so important that I'm writing my next book that's all about using your wardrobe as a business strategy, because there are studies out that show that, so when you are dressed casual, right? That really impacts your short-term thinking in the sense of like when you're a solopreneur and you're working from home or you're working in a corporate office and you still have days where you work from home, what that does to you from a psychological perspective is that it pushes you to get things done in that moment. You know, as opposed to when you dress up or you wear a suit, that impacts, you know, like your 10-foot view, it impacts your larger goal setting. So when you think about sometimes if you are at a lower position in a company, maybe the higher ups will dress better for a lot of different reasons, but also most of the time they're in charge of the big vision and then trickling that down. And then your job is to execute it. So, you know, you may need to, for your job, wear jeans and a graphic tee and like fashion sneakers, you know, because you mm-hmm. are, you know, responsible for just really attacking the day to day. You know what I mean? And so that yeah. was one of the studies that kind of blew my mind. And I was like, man, you know, there really is a necessity that comes out of like, what do you want to accomplish and how do you dress on even any given day to accomplish those goals?
Yeah, it's funny. When I first got started, I knew I was struggling with this employee business owner mindset thing. But one of the things that I did initially was anytime I was going to get on a Zoom call or a phone or anything with a potential client, I would put on my dress shoes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just to remind me you're at work. Even though I'm in my house, I still would put on dress shoes. You know, now I've graduated to the point where I'm still in my slippers, but... But, you know, at least initially for me, from a mindset standpoint, it was important to put on something that resembled the structure or, you know, that I used to experience as an employee.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I agree. I think that we all probably have something. I think that for me, it was like putting on makeup, you know, because if I'm running around and I'm just running errands, you know, because I didn't have to, and I wanted to save money and give my skin a break, I'd stop putting makeup on unless I'm like doing a Zoom call. And even now, if it's like, if it's with someone where we're just kind of like going over my website or something, then, you know, I'm just like, I'm not going to put on makeup, you know, but right. I graduated from that and I still would at least put something on so that I'm like a dead person. But that was what it was for me, because I did get over, like I did start initially feeling better, like at least once I got dressed. But during my writing season, if I got out of my pajamas, you know, it was like, but I had to get stuff done. I'm like, I don't have time to, you know, to go to do all this stuff. So now I'm like, okay, I get it. So yeah. Now when I'm in that writing season, like it's okay if I don't get out of my pajamas, but if I still have to take a Zoom call in the mist, I will at least change my shirt. I am fully dressed today, but I will change at least my shirt and put makeup on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I gave up shaving recently. But that's going to end soon. One of the other things that you have done since the last time we talked, which by the way, I'm super proud of you. I think this is awesome.
Thank you.
But you wrote a book called The Secrets of a Well-Dressed Brand, but it's not a book. I mean, it is an interactive media experience that, I mean, if somebody goes through it step by step, they will come away with something extremely valuable that they can use forever on how to adjust the way they dress. So that the perception that they want people to have when they see them for the first time or even the 10th time is exactly what they want them to have. And I mean, the book is amazing. So tell me about the book.
Oh my goodness. So thank you for that. You know, I had this idea to do an interactive ebook. Like, actually, the idea came from a friend of mine, Stephanie Humphrey. And she was like, you should do this interactive ebook. And I'm like, why? So when I started to research, only children's books were really interactive. So that made me attracted to it right away. So I reached out and did a lot of research on how I can make this happen. So it's a book that is only available on iTunes. It's called Secrets of a Well-Dressed Brand, and it had to be on iTunes because they were the only forum at that time that could, or the only platform that could host video. And it was really fun and exciting to do. And the reason that I wanted to do it in that platform was because when I was researching, they were saying that people were buying hardcover books, but then they weren't reading them. And I felt like this was information that I really wanted to get out into the world. So I'm like, okay, if you give me 30 minutes, three nights a week, like you can start this puppy on Monday, you are done by Wednesday, and you are killing this style game by Friday. So that was the plan. And so, you know, it's a better experience on a desktop or a laptop or a tablet. But yeah, you just kind of go through, and I just really give you every single thing that I'd learned while working in electronic retail for 2 decades, all the things that I have learned from working with television personalities and high profile clients. And it really, really kind of lays out, you know, this strategy. I talk about what you should have in your closet. I interview celebrity friends of mine who have been featured on like Oprah and who've sold many of books. And, you know, they tell stories about their clients. I interview the CEO of Big Brother, Big Sister, the CEO of the Kimmel Center here in Philadelphia. So you have all people from all walks of life and talking about experiences that they've had themselves or when they're hiring people. You know, the thoughts that they actually have had when you're sitting there interviewing, it's crazy.
Right.
You know, it's crazy. And so it's really, really fun and exciting. And it just, I'm so proud of it. I wasn't expecting the reviews that are listed on iTunes where people have reached out and said, you know, this really transformed the way I think about getting dressed. And that was the entire purpose. So thank you for the kind words, because I'm super proud of it as well.
Yeah, it's awesome. All I can say is it's truly not like any other book that you will see. It's really well written. You have a really good logical, here's how you go through the process. I mean, you even start with like, what's the point of personal branding or what does it even mean? And then I personally liked all the interactive videos, and the ones that stood out to me were always the ones where you talk to the people about what your thoughts around how people dress in an interview and the things that they've learned or seen that, you know, sometimes you sit back and you go, really, people do that stuff? And then as soon as you think that, you go, yeah, they probably do. but it's a really great book.
Thank you. Now I'm gonna talk to you about something really quick, because you didn't ask me about it, but I want to tell you about it because this, you're gonna love it. Are you ready?
Yeah, go for it. So, maybe I was gonna ask, but go ahead. Let's hear it.
Maybe. So I know that you are a huge Batman fan.
Yeah.
And so some of the research that I'm doing in the book is all about superheroes. And, you know, why is their wardrobe so important? Like their costumes, if you will.
Right.
Did you know, even though this is about Superman, that his costume started out as a wrestling uniform? Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. And then it evolved into what we see today. But it started out as like what men would wear in the circus, you know, to just wrestle in. And then, you know, that was where the kind of tights and the boots came from. And then, it, of course, in 2020, it has certainly evolved into some other things. But, you know, when you think about it, you're still getting up every day. The power that you need, like a superhero, is in us. But you additionally put your power on. Mm. And then when you combine them together, you're completely unstoppable.
Yeah, I actually love that analogy, because, and to, you know, take away from superhero suits for just a minute, like think about a time when you have to get dressed up for whatever, like you're going to a gala or, you know, some kind of ball, if you will, where you have to go rent a tuxedo. And just the way when you put that on and you look at yourself in the mirror, you know, just the way that makes you feel alone is, yeah, can be amazing. And so think about if you felt that way every single day, the confidence, yeah, that you could exude as you go to work or you interact with clients or whatever. I mean, it's pretty amazing if you think about it.
And people treat you differently when you're dressed better. They just do. And I'm not saying that that's okay, but that's just the world that we live in. And so, you know, I want to be one of those millionaires that walks around in ripped jeans and you know, whatever, you know,
right.
There's plenty of right. them, but you know, sometimes until you get there and you're that recognized, you know, like it would be odd to see Gary Vee in a suit, right? Because
no, totally.
His casual dress is such a part of his brand, the same way that, you know, if you saw Seth Godin walking around in ripped jeans and a ripped t-shirt, you would question that. And so
yeah.
I just don't think that we're conscious enough about how much this is so much a part of our personal brand.
There's more stuff that you have been doing lately, and this one is also fun and exciting as well. You bringing well-dressed brand, if you will, to Facebook and doing a Facebook Live on the Well-Dressed Brand TV show. What made you decide to do that? And how, you know, you're on every Friday, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. So one of my favorite quotes is, if opportunity doesn't knock, then build a door. And so I really, I was going back and forth about starting a podcast. And I want it to be truthful about what my strengths are. Like, I know I'm not going to edit it. You know, I didn't want to hire somebody to do that. And so I was like, wait a minute, what are you doing? Like, I worked for, you know, for 2 decades for a company where it's all about live television. So if you go back and watch my very first episode, everyone's like, wait, this is your first time going live, like ever? Like, not even on your phone as a joke? I was like, no, I've never been live. So it's like a big go big or go home. So that was much easier to me, for me, than starting a podcast. And so, and I get to, you know, interview all of these exceptional people, you know, and we get to talk about branding and fashion and mental strength and all of the things that lead you up to having an exceptional brand. And it's so much fun. So much fun.
Yeah, I love the quote you said, which I've already forgotten, but something about building the door. What was that? What was that?
When opportunity doesn't knock, then build a door.
Yeah, exactly. So I selfishly started my podcast as a reason to interview people who had knowledge that I wanted for myself. Mm-hmm. And at some point along the way, I realized, you know what? This knowledge is not just important for me. It's important for everybody. Now, I am not at the Facebook Live level like you are.
I mean, it's like, and it's crazy because it, you know, I don't know. It was easy. It still is easy for me. I love it. I was, you know, you kind of get, like last year I had the pleasure of being like a brand ambassador for a fashion line on QVC. And so I was just, you know, it was my first time, like, you're in like 300 million homes live. And that is a whole different situation, but what it created in me was I didn't feel, for lack of a better word, I wasn't thirsty. You know, I wasn't like, oh, I wanted to be on TV, because I'm like, I'm already on TV every Friday. I have my own TV show. And so if this goes away, I didn't feel like, oh gosh, I'm really thirsty to be on television, you know? And I love it. I get to really share and help people, and it's so awesome. I love it.
Yeah. Now you interview a lot of really cool people. So I'm curious, like, I get asked this about podcasting sometimes, but if you look back at all of your guests, like, which is the one that when they said, yes, I'll do this with you, which is the one that made you go, Oh my gosh, I cannot believe I got person X, whoever that is.
Do you really want me to tell you the truth on that one? Okay. So that. Answer is Jay Bear, because I've had Christy Wright on, but I was so new to it. And I remember I was in car line picking up my son, and I was like, oh man, there's no way that he's going to say yes. You know, this is totally embarrassing, but it's so true. And I get the email back and he's like, yes, of course. And I started crying like a big baby. And I called my business coach. I called Natalie Gregg, and I was like, you know, and now I get, honestly, you know, because this is a very transparent podcast, you know, I get so many no's because I don't have a ton of followers, and for whatever reason, people are busy and they got better things to do. And so, and that's cool. But, you know, when you do get, when I get a yes from anybody, regardless of who it is, I am very excited. But that was the one, because it was still so early, that I was like, oh my word, I can't believe that he said yes.
Yeah. I mean, when I first started my podcast, my wife would tell you, like, once a week, I would just sit in my chair and say, whoop, because somebody would say yes, right? And Dori Clark was like that for me because she was somebody I was really looking up to and following and been paying attention to her for a long time. And my thought when I reached out to her was she's never going to say yes. So when she did, I was just like blown away and amazed. And I think what happens is, you know, people don't realize what it takes to do a Facebook Live and to do a podcast. Ooh. And I don't mean the technical piece, like what we're doing here. It's the behind the scenes stuff. It's the do I want to have on, getting out enough invitations, making sure you have the schedule and stuff ready to go. It's really, I mean, every single podcast or every single broadcast that you do is a project that you have to manage in and of itself. And if you don't get, you know, like your whole schedule can get off if somebody you're hoping can make it on your show tells you no.
And I had to give up doing like themes.
Okay.
You know, because I'm like, there was a point where I was like, okay, you know, for March, Women's History Month, I'm going to see if I can talk about this. And I want to have this person, this person, this person. So I would come up with a list of like six, seven people, women that I'm going to ask. Like this is last year. And like they all said no. So it's like, okay, well, here's who said yes. And we're just going to talk about what we talk about, you know? And so I really had to give up being like, this month I want to cover, you know, blah, blah, blah. And each week we will talk about like, no. So it's a little bit more random than I had liked for it to be. But, you know, it's okay because I just talk about whatever I'm into right now. So right now we've been talking a lot about digital marketing. So I had Brendan Kane on. We talked about a million followers in 30 days. I had Brittany Hennessy on last week where we talked about her book Influencer because this
good
is
book, by the way,
for us. It's a great book, right?
Yeah.
And like these are things that are important to us as entrepreneurs. Like how important are our followers? You know, like, is it as important or like all the stuff?
Anyway. Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, you just said one of the key things, like you learn very quickly as you become a freelancer or an entrepreneur, which is you have the plan that you set in motion is probably not the one you're going to implement. And somewhere in there, you have to learn how to improvise, adapt, and overcome.
Yes.
Which, and the faster you can do that, the better off you're going to be.
Yes. Absolutely, for sure. But it's, you know, it's crazy. And I still get the same, I get such an adrenaline rush from being live. It's crazy.
Let's go ahead and start to wrap up. And I'm curious, tell me a little bit about the Well-Dressed brand. Like, I know you do signature style consultations for folks, but you also do more than that. So tell me about some of the things and ways that you help people gain confidence through clothing.
So primarily I'm working with television personalities and founders and men and women in the C-suite. Those are the baseline of my customers. But I do like to try to give other people opportunities to work with me as well. So I just launched a signature style consultation that's $297. It's on my website right now. And so that kind of gets you my style consultation. And then we do a one-on-one and I kind of give you like a one sheeter on the direction that I think that you should go. For my television personalities and C-suite clients, we kind of start with the fascination advantage test. You also get my style test. Like I said, I merge them together and we really create a full brand experience. And then in that, and it wasn't even conscious, I end up a lot of times coaching them on content and just giving them other like business ideas that they've been, because it's just natural. We're talking about it anyway. And so, and I'm able to look at their fascinate from a different perspective. And so I was just working with someone and, you know, you kind of almost become a therapist. It's just like this, I want to be like the next, you know, Kelly Clarkson and have my own show and all of these things. And I'm like, okay, but this is where you want to be, but here's where you are with your brand, where all of your content looks the same. Like you look like kind of like a one-trick pony, you know? And so we got to shake things up. And, you know, it went all the way back to some things that was from her childhood where she needed to be and look perfect and just explaining that the world is different, you know? And that perfection was going to really hinder her from getting to the next level. And so, you know, you think that doesn't have anything to do with fashion, but, you know, we So we just started with her taking small risks with her wardrobe, you know, because one little thing can be, one little small thing can be impactful. So, yeah.
Right. And before you know it, you're wearing yellow shoes while you're presenting.
As you should.
One last question, and then we'll wrap everything up. But so signature style consultation seems like a very in-person kind of thing, yet you can do these consultations just like we're doing now via Zoom, right?
So you would, yes, I can. But a lot of times people don't want to get on camera. And so I'm very grateful that I have been doing this for 3 decades, which I hate to admit. But no, I've been doing this for over 30 years, to be honest. And so I've gotten it down to, if I can just see a picture of you, it's a recent picture, and just talking to people, because most of my clients, especially my bigger clients, they don't live even in the same state. Most of them live in California. And so I don't ever see them. I've got my biggest client right now. I've gotten her dressed for 7 events and I met her once 4 years ago. I've not seen her since. You know, and so I've gotten her dressed for the Today Show. She just did her TED Talks, all of these things. And I have never talked to her since I sat next to her at lunch at the Forbes conference. So, so, you know, I don't pat myself. That's one of my problems. I don't pat myself on the back too much, but I can do this with my eyes closed. And so, you know, because I've been, and QVC prepares you for that. I mean, it's 30 program hosts. So you have a lot of different personalities. There's kind of like not much I haven't seen or dealt with. We do a Zoom call if they want to. Most people don't want to get on camera. I give them the style test. We have a conversation. I tell them to send me a picture of them, maybe in like leggings and a tank, just so I can see what I'm working with. Eye color, hair color.
I look funny in leggings.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to say anything.
So, but the good news is though, is that for those people who are thinking, well, I can't do that because I gotta be in Pennsylvania. Like, you don't have to be.
Yeah, no, it's all done virtually. Yeah.
Awesome. Fantastic. All right, Toy, all good things must come to an end. So for those who are interested in learning more about your signature style consultation, picking up a copy of your book, just learning more about what you do and how you help people, you know, really bring out the best of themselves and their personality through clothing. What is the best way for them to get in touch with you?
You can go to toysweeney.com and it will take you everywhere. I am Toy Sweeney everywhere, except for on Twitter. I'm Sweeney Toy, but pretty easy to find.
That you are. And I am certainly glad that you found me in this little podcast as it was getting started out, because I value your friendship, your advice, and I have enjoyed watching you grow in your career and look forward to your next few books.
Well, thank you. I'm grateful for you as well.
Today's show was edited and produced by Ryan Rowe. Today's music is called Hudson Hawk by Neon Beach. All licenses for today's music purchased via soundstripe.com.